New counter-terrorism bill would give police the power to apply for a High Court order for returning New Zealanders who have been involved in overseas terrorist activity. The legislation would apply to the likes of Mark Taylor, the so-named bumbling jihadi who joined ISIS and is currently being detained by Kurdish forces in Syria. The National Party is supporting the bill through to its first stages but wants tougher penalties and making it apply to people as young as 14. Green Foreign Affairs spokesperson Golriz Gharaman said her party would not support the bill due to human rights ramifications. The bill has implications, she said, to implicate the wrong people. To quote, my home nation of Iran would consider a feminist activist a terrorist or an environmental activist a terrorist. Justice Minister Andrew Little has admitted that the chances of Kiwi jihadist Mark Taylor returning to New Zealand has increased, also saying that, to quote, he might be a bumbling idiot, but he has gone to Syria to fight and participate in extremist activity. The guy's not safe. And Jacinda Ardern said a small number of individuals would be affected by this bill. So, Ella, you first. This is fairly new territory for us, really, a bill like this. What are your thoughts?
Well, I seriously don't know very much about it beyond the press releases, and I had to say after looking at them that I tend to err on the side of the Greens, in that they feel convinced that we have existing legislation to cover all of these situations, and the very great concern that I have, we as a small nation can be so influenced by our powerful partners around defining who or what is a terrorist. And I mean, some obviously in the case of ISIS, that's very clear. But the points around, you know, feminist activists and environmental activists, LGBTQ activists being considered terrorists in their country, does tend to make me feel a bit more cautious about this kind of legislation. And it looks like it's in a parlous state as a piece of legislation anyway.
Because the definition of terrorism does vary, Steve, from country to country. If I was a protester in Hong Kong right now, I might be deemed a terrorist by China.
Well, I think Hong Kong is one of the big issues that has to be addressed in this. I mean, first of all, we're saying that if the New Zealand government is given information by an overseas source that somebody could be a potential hazard, then they would be able to exercise sweeping new powers under this proposed act. It doesn't say that they're required to. So while Golriz Gharaman is right to point out that there's the potential for abuse of, say, feminist activists coming here from Iran, it doesn't mean that we have to. However, I mean, let's say, for example, not that I'm suggesting that a potential national government, if we ever get one ever again, would in fact kowtow to Beijing, but you could see potential influence from a Chinese government on inbound travellers from Hong Kong. Who are deemed to be problematic to the Chinese government.
What are you saying? You're saying watch what you ask for in this bill, yeah, because it might have, yeah, unintended consequences?
Well, the other thing that worries me is the notion that a piece of legislation can de-radicalise a person by picking them up at the airport and locking them in another jail. I'm not sure.
We already have legislation that enables that. Section 7A of the Crimes Act specifically extends New Zealand jurisdiction overseas for people in New Zealand who have committed crimes, including terrorism. So we're talking about the likes of Mark Watson, which is kind of dubious anyway, because the likes of how many
Mark
others?
Mark Taylor.
Mark Taylor, I beg your pardon. Sorry, Mark Watson, whoever you may be, I've just terribly slandered you. Mark, we're talking about the likes of this guy. How many others are there like him? So we're giving great big sweeping powers for one specific case, but we've already got legislation that can enable us to arrest him when he arrives in New Zealand for crimes committed overseas, but which are covered by the Crimes Act anyway.
What about the idea, Ella and Steve, then, of lowering the age from 18 to 14? This is what Simon Bridges said, because there are people as young as 15, he said, who have gone on to join terrorist groups. Is that not a fair point? It might sound harsh, but this is terrorism we're dealing with.
For a 14-year-old to be culpable, they would have literally have to have hopped on an aeroplane, stayed there for 5 minutes and come home to still be 14 years old. I'm going to assume by the time they de-radicalise that some time has passed. But, young children under the Human Rights Act, under 16 is still a child, that feel so passionately about something that they would go to the other side of the world, to me, have far more problems than, you know, being radicalised. This seems extraordinary, and I'm not sure how locking them up is going to solve those problems.
Well, there's been a similar case in the UK recently, a young woman named Shamima Begum, who was as far as I can make out, taken to the Middle East. And it's not that she had that passion in herself. Her family took her. To what extent is it fair then to criminalise her? I mean, there's talk in the UK for her stripped of UK citizenship, which is against UK nationality law anyway. But people are saying, well, she went to ISIS. She's an ISIS baby. She's a terrorist. She's a child. You're talking about culpability. How responsible can you hold someone who has been taken and put in that position?
You could say the same of a 17-year-old, though, could you not?
Theoretically, especially if they were children when they first went or were put in this predicament of being taken to a country over which they have no control if the family takes you there. And if you become inculcated or indoctrinated whilst there, that's part and parcel of the journey. But if you want to then get away from it, how does the rest of the world deal with you?
But also you've got Simon Bridges saying children who are 14 when they returned to New Zealand, so how young were they when they went over there? These are kids who never really stood a chance. Don't be victimising them any further.
Well, let's talk to a professor of international law at Waikato University, Al Gillespie. Kia ora, Al.
Kia ora,
so what do you've heard what both Ella and Steve have said, their opinions on this particular counter-terrorism bill. What do you make of it, and is it necessary?
I think it is necessary because there's a gap. If we could convict them for crimes that they did while they were over there, and I think Mark Taylor could fall into that category, then it makes sense to arrest them when they come home. The gap is when you've got them back here and you haven't got the evidence of what they may or may not have done when they've been overseas. This is not going to incarcerate them, but this is going to create some mechanisms to watch them and have some surveillance to make sure that they don't create a risk to the community.
Right, so when Goras says, look, you know, in their view or her view is kind of unnecessary, we have all the tools now. Our criminal law exists, our crime of terrorism exists, our police have powers to surveil. That's what she said on Morning Report. You don't agree?
We do have some powers, and some of these are held with the Secret Services. This will make it a bit more transparent, but you need to also keep it in perspective of the numbers involved. The legislation's aiming at maybe a couple of orders per year, which I imagine would be for the next 2 or 3 years.
Is there a danger, as we were talking about here, that you might drag into the net people for whom it wasn't designed? You know, say New Zealanders who've engaged in activist issues overseas, say, you know, saving the rainforest in Brazil or that the umbrella protests in Hong Kong, who they might consider terrorists, but we don't.
I think it's unlikely because this amendment to the legislation is based on the 2002 principles and interpretation of terrorism as we already accept it. And that's the abuse of targeting civilians for the changing of government purpose. Also, it's going to be with regard to designated terror groups. And so it's unlikely to encompass, especially in New Zealand, anything outside of that ambit.
Is this reflective of what other countries are doing, Al?
It's reflective in terms of the surveillance and the monitoring. Where it breaks down, though, is on the question of de-radicalisation. Like, other countries will put much more emphasis not just on the surveillance and monitoring, but also making sure that these people are tethered to the community when they come back. Because one of the best chances you've got of stopping another terror attack is making sure that they're part of the community, they've got jobs, they've got families, and they're with conventional religious authorities.
Okay, Al Gillespie.
We don't even do that with the average prisoner who gets, you know, plonked back on the streets. So it'll be interesting to see where the resources and the programs come for de-radicalisation.
I'd also like to know what specifically, so if we're saying we've already got a mechanism to surveil the likes of Mark Taylor when they return to New Zealand, what specifically would this new legislation enable the police and the security forces to do?
I think Al's gone, actually. Has he gone? Or is he still there? Yeah, Al, can you hear that? Oh, no, he's gone. No. Wow. Okay, we'll bring that up another time.
We'll email him. Final point.
Well, I'm sure we'll get back to him.
We'll telephone him.
But on a final point, Mark Taylor, do you think the government should bring him home?
Well, I don't think we'll have much choice if what is happening in Syria continues. There may be some legal requirement for a number of people who have foreign nationalities in some of those prisons and camps to be repatriated regardless of what we say.
Yeah, he's a New Zealand citizen. He is unfortunately one of ours, whether we like it or not. We can't render him stateless. That would be inhumane. So he's ours.